Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give 'em hell, Miss Noel.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Happens.
Watch what crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, celebrating Friday with the listeners and my dear friend, my usual co-host, the lovely, the charming, the Friday-rific, the Rebecca Blackie, Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com, and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's up?
Well, hello, Ben.
How are you doing? How are you? How are you?
He's got money.
I'm always happy on a Southern Charm Day just because of the music.
Yeah. I am too. And it's also Friday. And for some people, it's an even more special day because it's 420. Everyone enjoy. in the meantime, while you are doing that, we've got live shows. That was my attempt to do Southern Charm with our live shows. But we do have live shows coming up. Chicago shows are sold out. Sorry. But we have Phoenix and San Francisco are on deck next. Y'all better buy those tickets. Buy them pretty little tickets. They're not going to buy themselves, okay? And we don't want people the day before the show to be like, wait a second, how do I get them tickets? And say, oh, sorry, it's sold out. Okay? Get them now.
I like a honey.
Now, I know that people in Philadelphia are sad, because this is what's happened to them. They waited too long, and the show is basically sold out, although you can do VIP upgrades still. But you can't, if you don't have a ticket, you can't get a ticket. Well, guess what? We are adding a second show for Philadelphia. Your dreams have come true, Philadelphia. A second night, a full second night of Watch What Crappens.
It's going to be... Ian. Yes, and those are going on sale this Wednesday at 12 p.m. or next Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, that was, so if you're listening to this not on 420, that exact date is April 25th. April 25th. The Philadelphia, what day is, I'm trying to think what the, I've got to look up through the emails. You know, we're not very prepared here. We're just letting you know there is a second show.
Yeah.
I think it's the night before. So I think that is July 19th. If you give me like all of 1 second, I can just scoot on over to my emails. I mean, God forbid we actually take some time to look up some dates before we start to record, right?
I know. We even talked about it before we recorded. We're like, don't forget. And then we didn't forget. And then we didn't look up the email.
Okay.
Like, you're driving this. Okay.
I'm driving it into a cliff. Okay. So the Philly dates will be July 19th and July 20th. I believe the 20th is already sold out, although VIP upgrades are available. So July 19th is going on sale Wednesday, the 25th, at noon on the East Coast, which means that if you're on the West Coast and you want to buy tickets to Philly for some reason, you got to be up at 9. The show will be at 8 p.m. We're going to have a great time. Philadelphia is an awesome city. I haven't spent a huge amount of time there in many years, so I'm excited for us to go eat cheesesteaks and be just crazy Philadelphians for 2 days.
Yeah, hell yeah. We're excited to see Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia, and we'll have further updates just about everything in life. Just, yeah, you know, down the line. But for right now, Philadelphia, second show added.
Yeah. So let's talk of some Southern Charm, shall we, Ben?
I want to talk about Southern Charm on a macro level, as in the entire Southern Charm universe. As in, I watched Southern Charm New Orleans, and I want to give it a little bit of a moment before we dive into the big Southern Charm. Did you happen to catch it yet?
I sure did.
What did you think?
Well, my first thought is I'm very offended that they just stole the theme song and then put different words to it. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
If you're going to steal the theme song, just use the same thing. What? Are they not? He's got money. They have money. He's in magazines. They're in magazines. Yeah. Why you got to change it? I think the new song is like, we're having fun. Something like.
That sounds totally different, Ronnie.
I know, but it's like. Da, 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 da. We're having fun.
Da, Mardi Gras beignets.
It's so fun. Yeah. It's something like that. Just steal the song, guys. I mean, yeah, who cares?
You're allowed to.
And I love that they do. The music is so good on it. They do it just basically. It's Southern Charm music, but with, you know, a New Orleans jazz band.
Zydeco sort of.
So good. Yeah. So I love the music. I love the look of it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I watched it in HD and not just on the computer, you know, which is good about taking notes because, A, you really get to see the cracks in people's faces. And I have to say this cast is very well put together crack-wise.
Yeah, yeah. They have a good – they have a sweat problem, though, but that's more of a New Orleans issue, I think.
Girl, I saw it and I was like, don't even say it, you fucking hypocrite, because anybody who comes to our live shows knows that I'm just a spigot.
Yeah, but I feel bad for some of these guys. They are just sweating through these scenes, especially the white guy. I feel like every scene, his hair is like slowly getting darker and like clumping together with sweat. Although that's the least of his problems, I'm sure. But
yeah, he looks like a Viking from the TV show The Vikings.
He does.
It's like he's always sweaty and like you expect him to be covered in mud from like a passing horse.
Yeah. I think the thing that I like them, first of all, I really like the show a lot. Like out of the gate, I just could tell I'm into it. You know, there's certain shows that have the right chemistry in terms of the cast, in terms of the way the show is shot, the editing. This one feels like it's right in the pocket, as they would say, as no one says, I should say. But it feels right. And it's not a whole lot happened in that first episode. It was just meeting the people, learning a little bit about them, dinner parties. There weren't any crazy fights or anything. But it was just a showcase of the personalities, and I liked them all a lot, and that's really important if you're going to be buying into a show. So I felt like, out of the gate, very strong, and some of them are also very attractive.
I didn't really feel the same. I was kind of like, why am I watching this?
Really?
And then at the end, I was like, well, I hate those two, you know, biatches, so maybe that's the point. You know, I guess that's kind of the point. But those two girls who are friends.
That girly talks like this.
Oh, she's the worst.
My family invented bitters.
It's like, you need to just put a sock in your mouth already, okay, lady?
Yeah, no, she is awful. I mean, I like that she's going to law school. I always like when someone really annoying on a reality show does something surprisingly academic. You're like, whoa. But
she's also like, they call me legally blonde. I was like, because you're an idiot in law school that wears pink. I'm kind of sick of this. Okay, leave Cameron alone. She's already stolen Reese Witherspoon's life.
Okay? But and the hot artist guy, I feel like I'm gonna hate him, even though he's so hot. But I can just tell he's gonna be really pretentious.
Well, he has a Louis Vuitton backpack, so fuck that guy.
Yeah. But I like is her name Tamika? What was the name of
the
morning show host? I really like her. I feel like she's going to lose her job. So, you know, I'm appreciating the sacrifice that she will be making.
I love the news channel in the mall. Did you notice that it was in the mall?
It had like some weird on-air graphics. It looked not. It didn't even look like the hotel channel. I didn't even know what it looked like. It was just very much like,
when they showed the clips of the news, it was like super low def and fuzzy.
Yeah.
Mall footage. It was like security cam footage from the mall. It's next to the closed down Claire's.
Yeah, it's like they turned the Claire's into a make your own newscast suite. Like you go in and they give you like some props, like a photo booth, and they're like, okay, you're doing the news. And you just go, all right, back to you, Chuck. Thanks, Sue. And then you like get the video on a CD or something.
Yes, DVD. It's like one of those little karaoke stations in the mall that they used to have, of which I have multiple cassette tapes of singing embarrassing songs.
Yeah, and then what I thought was hilarious about the show was for the final set piece, They had a dinner party, and people just kept on showing up, and everyone had a chyron. It was like, here's Joanne. Oh, and there's Gladys. Oh, and there's Gigi. And there's Rob. And there's, you know, Barishnikov. Like, it was just like, it was like an unending parade of characters.
Barishnikov. It's like the last person you'd expect to see on the show. It's like, wow, they really are pulling from every demographic. Barishnikov, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised
like
if he has
got the money.
He's
in Michael C. Well, that girl, Tamika, I thought was super annoying. She's like, everyone in Atlanta knows me.
Oh, I liked her.
I didn't like her. Her and that other girl, all they do, they're like, oh, we get wasted. We love to get wasted. I'm like, you're 40, okay? Yeah. It's not that I don't only get wasted, and I'm 40, but I don't know. Talk about something else. They got on my nerves, but it's tradition that I hate everything that comes out, and then I fall in love with it. I'm not the kind of person who likes something the first episode. Yeah. I always hate it, and then I'm like, I have to see it again, and then I fall in love with it.
I like Tamika a lot. I mean, I'm hoping that's her name, Tamika. I feel like I feel like that's wrong, and I'm following you down the path. And I feel like it's like, okay, Southern Charm, New Orleans. This is the episode of me typing too. New Orleans. Cast.
You're the dependable brain on this show, okay, sir? New Orleans.
Tamika. By the way, the white guy, Jeff, he is a former football player, and his mom robbed him of a few hundred thousand dollars, which is crazy. Jeff
and
is
then
scary
got mad
looking.
At him, which I loved.
Yeah, they get...
he steals money from him, and then he catches her, and then she cuts him off.
Well, luckily, he married into the Peychaud's Bitters empire.
This house was built on bitters.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking the whole time, how am I going to make this girl not like Sheena? Because she doesn't talk like that. She doesn't have the Muppet thing.
She speaks like this. She speaks like this. She's really annoying. My sister and I are like 10 years apart, but not that anyone could tell. I'm not going to say how old she is because I don't want to reveal how old I am. But right now I'm living in a mansion that has Tuscan architecture, which is like very classy.
Yeah, and then they talk about how the mother stole it, which she brings up at a dinner party. It's like super class. She's like, well, his mother's a bitch. It's like, geez.
She's not a nice person.
Yeah, she stole money from him. And he's like, yeah, guys, it's true. How can I trust anybody when my mother did that to me? I'm like, you're sitting across from your shrew of a wife. So I'm going to love that because I feel like there's a lot of trouble there. And then his friend was like, poor guy, he gave his body to football. He gave his brain to football. He gave his heart to football, and now look at him. He's just a bumbling mess without any money, which is hilarious.
Looking scary.
Yeah, and then his wife is getting an apartment in town so she can be closer to school, and Tamika's like, I don't approve. I was like, I don't really care, but I'm going to like watching them fight, I think. I like watching two dumb people go at it.
Yeah, they're going to have a nice good old fight, and I think that Tamika and her husband are also going to have a fight, and I want to thank our listener, Bill. Bill Boulware, I believe, is how you say his name. He's one of our Twitter friends. He was like, Ben, I'm sure you enjoyed seeing Tamika's husband's butt. And I was like, I missed that. So I went back, and sure enough, there was his butt right there doing the classic Bravo shower scene. Really appreciated. I like that a lot.
Yeah, there were a lot of the Bravo classics here. You know, a lot of the tropes.
We had a psychic. We had a really funny psychic who reminded me a little bit of Rennie from Big Brother 10, with a mix of the lady from Poltergeist.
Come toward the light, Christina.
Because they have that. And I like that she's like, because Tamika isn't having sex with her husband. She hasn't had sex in 4 months. And this is part of the thing that bugs me about the shows when they just start fighting over nothing. Because she tells her friends, we haven't had sex in 6 months and I'm not giving it to him. And her friend goes to the witch doctor to get powder, like, for them to have sex. And then she's like, stop making it sound like I have a having sex problem. Like, you're the one who brought it up, Dorit. Tamika Dorit.
Yeah. I'm down for it. I feel like, actually, these people may be a little bit too normal because the women made the guys wait 6 hours in the blazing heat during Mardi Gras for their little float to come by, and they were like, okay, well, there go the women. I'm like, you guys should be fighting now. You guys should all be fighting. If this were Vanderpump Rules, you guys would be fighting. And I do like Barry. Barry is Tamika's husband, and he's like, I hate Mardi Gras. It's too crowded, too many lines. I want to get out of here.
Well, I love a complainer. I don't know how good he is for a TV show, though. He's like, I hate Mardi Gras. I hate my wife. I hate where we live. I hate this street. I hate the sky. I was like, you're my kind of person. But I don't know. I guess that's going to be the first divorce on this show. Because he's like, well, don't want to live in this house, but whatever makes my family happy. And then he's like, I'm being positive. Like, you can't say you're being positive when you were just negative, okay? Yeah. And that's what I like about him. Yeah. And he's very handsome. Okay, and then their friend is the artist guy.
He's hot.
Yeah, and his art is actually really good. But he has a Louis Vuitton backpack, so he can shut up.
Yes,
We talked about the dumb hooker girls. I like their friends.
What about, we haven't talked about Justin the lawyer. I like Justin. I think he seems sort of...
The one who has mommy, the one who's close with his mom?
Yeah, his mom was like, I'm going to be on TV, so I'm going to put all sorts of white makeup on my face right now. Her foundation was definitely awry.
Yeah, she was definitely kabooking it.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, it's nice that they finally found Whitney Houston. You know, Whitney Houston's like, I died in a bathtub, but then she really didn't. She just, you know, moved to New Orleans and is going to kill a Bravo show with her amazingness. I liked her. And I like that storyline that he's moving in with his mom.
Yeah.
Because we don't have enough of that on Bravo. And the girlfriend who never even got to say one word. Why didn't they let that girl talk?
Wait, which one? Oh, yeah, she didn't. She just kept on sort of like smiling and glaring. And she will talk, according to the trailer. But I was surprised that she didn't have a voice.
Yeah, she's like the Amit of Southern Charm New Orleans. but yeah, I'm looking
How dare you? We barely know her yet.
Yeah, they were trying to start fights with her. Tamika was trying to start shit with them. What did she say?
She was like, are you guys going to get married? Oh, that was the big thing. They're like, so when are you guys going to get married? And they were like, dun, 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 dun. Like, why would you ask that? That's so...
Yeah, another fight, another thing where they're like, we're going to fight about nothing. That is not an offensive question to ask your friends who have been dating.
Yeah, so, it's very reasonable.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Bop, 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 dun, dun.
So yeah, I like it. I don't know where it's gonna fit in, but we'll on our schedule, but we'll find a way because I think it seems like a lot of people watched it and a lot of people liked it. And you know, once some of these shows, we got a lot of shows that are wrapping up, and once they're done, we can start getting some of these get better coverage for some of these other shows like Potomac also.
Yeah, when I finished watching it, I felt like I didn't like it. But now that we've talked about it, I feel like I liked it.
Yeah.
It's weird. You see, my mind has already changed.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it. We're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Reagan, I look just like my sister who's 10 years younger than me.
Oh, damn it. See, I'm going to have to practice that and take it out of the Sheena throat.
No, Sheena's like this, and she's like this.
You got to, like, take the...
Yeah, but it's like a low nasal, and I think I'm just used to putting Sheena there.
Well, she's on the Sheena spectrum. We've got different spectrums for different voices, and she's on that one.
She's definitely on the Sheena spectrum, although her husband has never put anything up in 7 minutes. I can guarantee you that. Bless his heart.
Oh, that poor guy. Not only was he, like, sweating through everything, but he was in, like, a full suit the entire time. I don't know what he's doing. Like, is he a lawyer? Is he an investment banker? He just looks like he is constantly overheating.
Well, they all do. I think they made them all wear suits at all times for this one.
Just to look more professional.
Yeah, because they were all wearing suits and stuff. And I was like, and they're all bald, too. He's not bald, but most of the other ones are. There's like three guys with shaved heads on this, right? And they were all sweating. And I was like, you poor guys. But also, you know, like, hi. It's like seeing myself up there.
Yeah, exactly. So should we move on to regular Southern Charm? Southern Charm Classic, as it were?
Gosh, it's time to go to a commercial. Ah, oh, Craig.
Yeah, speaking of props to the music people. Music people this season are just... above and beyond. I don't know if they got that original girl who sings this song.
Trixie Monocle.
Do they have her in studio now for every episode? Because now she's just making up new lyrics.
And they have nothing to do with anything because they are doing a very artistic take on that opening music on the episodes now. So we thought it was a one-off on the pilot, when the pilot ended and there was a haunting, he's got money, he's in magazines, whatever it is. And then it came back the second episode. And then this third episode, you know, in the segment where it's like, previously on Southern Charm, where Cameron narrates. So Cameron goes, as we all gather to celebrate Shep's 38, all of a sudden you hear Trixie Monocle go, he was lazy, just a regular Joe Blow. I'm like, what?
I thought that was hilarious. It has everything to do with it. They showed Shep, and then she's like, he was lazy. Which Shep, I mean, can't even comb his damn hair. So I thought true. That was perfect. And then they just cut it into everybody. Then Cameron's like, and this other person's an idiot too. You know, which is just all Cameron says about people. And then it cuts to the next person. It's like, they have a lawn. They like balloons. I'm like, where are these lyrics coming from?
It's like Trixie Monocle's like stream of consciousness song, you know? Because Cameron's like, not everyone was feeling the love. And Trixie goes, everyone who's in the know says he makes the kids go loco. I'm like, what? And then like there's a shot of Austin doing something. And then Trixie's like, gotta hand it to the man. He makes it look so easy. I'm like, what? Austin makes nothing look easy.
He's literally doing nothing. He makes doing nothing look easy, yeah. Which it is. So funny.
He's got pillows.
And then it's like shows Craig just like, whoa, look, I've got pillows.
He's got a new life now with some thimbles.
I'm here for the Trixie Monocle musical version of Southern Charm. I was dying. I listened to it 2 times.
It just was funny because it just seemed like, it seemed a little bit like Trixie decided, okay, you know what, guys? I don't have a lot of time today, so I'm going to record my royalty-free Southern Charm music, and you just figure out a way to make it work. Like, okay, well, we got these 5 lyrics. Let's see. She's singing about potato chips here. Let's put that with Craig.
He's playing T-ball with the broom.
And they're like, okay, Shep, play T-ball with the broom on your date. He's like, okay, gosh.
He got a heart attack from ping pong.
He's an abuser.
And so we cut to Thomas in bed with Ashley. Ugh.
Yeah.
Do they just want people to turn this show off? It's like you give us the most amazing musical scene ending with Craig fluffing like 1,000 pillows.
Yeah.
And then we have to look at fucking Thomas.
Well, maybe you should, because at long last, I got myself a real woman with a real woman's heart.
What does that even mean?
Has he been dating, like, blow-up dolls? Like, what's going on? He's just, like, having sex exactly. with pieces of wood.
Yeah. Finally, here I am at the end of the yellow brick road. Got a woman with a real heart put in her. The tin vagina still kind of hurts, but... baby steps. Baby
I'm steps. Not in my downtown penthouse anymore. I'm not in my downtown penthouse anymore. Oh, wait. Sorry. Yeah. There's no place like the downtown. Trying to remember what he's supposed to click his ankles for.
He's clicking his crusty-ass white jeans together to get someplace.
Oh, look. My downtown house that I had to move out of fell onto Deidre. Have to replace her.
Deidre morphed into a palm tree. I have to say, in Southern Charms, New Orleans, Tamika goes, I haven't even seen, because the dumb girl, Regan, goes, I'm like Scarlett O'Hara. I'll do it tomorrow, which is like the wrong quote anyway. But then Tamika goes, I've never seen Gone with the Wind. And everyone's like, oh, how dare you? And she goes, well, what? Have you seen The Wiz? I was like, oh, my God, this show.
Well, here's the thing, is that I
those have, are not the same things.
No, well, actually, they're different. They are, but I have been educated because I have been on the receiving end of that question many, many times, which is, of course, they're not the same thing. But like, you know, but the importance of The Wiz in the black community, which is what I've learned from my black boyfriend and his friends. I have friends who are black card. I am doing that. But
lower.
No, for real.
For that.
What?
I didn't mean to bring it up for
No, I'm clarifying. That's why she said it, which is like, yeah, well, Gone with the Wind means a lot to you ladies, just like The Wiz means a lot to like me and my friends, but you never even thought, you haven't seen The Wiz, so like, don't shade me about not seeing Gone with the Wind.
Because well, who hasn't seen The Wiz, too? You should both be ashamed of yourself. The Wiz is an amazing movie.
He's on down.
Well, the funny thing is, written by Trixie Monocle.
Well, I actually...
He's on down the road.
In that scene, though, I recorded it off the TV, and I sent it to Dom. I was like, look. And he was like, see? Because he's done that to many different people. When they're like, you haven't seen this one? He's like, well, have you seen The Wiz? Like, no. So...
I would say, have you seen The Color Purple? That's more like, you know, that's more of like a drama, an important drama to me than The Wiz. Well, but I'm not going to get
I'll
the Wiz
you,
fight.
I'm going to let you.
And,
I'll let
no,
you fight
and
that
I'm glad
fight,
you warned
Ronnie.
Me, so I don't say this at dinner one time.
Exactly. I'm not warning you. I'm just letting you know. It's like, because to me, I always thought like, well, The Wiz is just like, you know, it's like a musical from the 70s, you know, and Gone with the Wind is a... epic classic, but it's not about like how good the movies are, it's like how meaningful they are to different communities, etc. See, we all learned something.
Well, there we go. This has been a learning moment.
He's got the Wiz, not Southern Charm.
Scarlett O'Hara. He's on down the road.
By the way, I'm happy to report that I've seen neither Gone with the Wind or The Wiz. Although I saw NBC's,
oh my god,
I saw NBC's The Wiz. So I've seen The Wiz. I just haven't
well, that
seen.
Was good. Yeah,
I haven't seen the movie. Wiz. I haven't seen the Michael Jackson one. So
oh, it's good. That's
I have not seen Gone with the Wind, but you know, Gone with the Wind is long. It's long.
It is, but it is so good. That spoiled little bitch. It's like a Bravo show. It's a spoiled little bitch, and you're like, I hate her. And then by the end, you're like, oh my god, I love her.
You know what, Ronnie? I think I'm going to speak this, and even though I think you understood the point, I'm going to illustrate it one last time in language that you can understand. If imagine like some dude is like, oh, have you seen like what's some super bro-y movie like The Rock or something like that, or Transformers
yes.
4, you
yes.
know, Top Gun. Let's say like
yes.
It's
not going to work on me because I watched them all.
I know you watch a lot of movies, but the point is this: if someone says a movie and you haven't seen it, and they're like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you haven't seen it," and then if you say, "Well, have you seen Soap Dish?" and they're like, "Oh, see, Soap Dish is not Gone with the Wind, but it's important to us. It's important to us."
Okay, point taken. Point taken.
Do we stop
He's
listeners?
Got
left?
Soap Dish. He's got big business.
So anyway, back to things that aren't as fun as a gay movie at all. Thomas.
Yeah. He's gone.
What a monster.
Have you seen Gone with the Wind recently?
That Scarlett O'Hara, I'd fuck her.
She's like, a real woman with a real heart. Can't walk around nowhere, though.
He is the most offensive fucking person on TV. I can't even believe
He's
they still
really
have him.
Bad.
I can't believe he hasn't been kicked off TV in general, not just the show, but television.
There was a period of time where I enjoyed T-Rav despite his foibles. I found him to be like hilariously, you know, just always saying the wrong thing, etc. But now I actually think he's just a disgusting person. I can't even like love to hate him. I just think he's kind of awful.
Well, yeah, because back in the day it was, I'm an old man pretending to make young jokes, wink, wink. And he's still doing that, but he's impregnated a child twice. And now he's got this new bimbo who's obviously a damn mess. I mean, this girl is like a total nightmare mess of a person, you know? Like, to the point where I don't even want to make fun of her. Just kidding.
So we're at Cameron's house now, and Patricia calls.
Oh, no, we have to say. He's he goes, find the woman's heart. And she's like, yeah. And he goes, show me again where the heart is. And he grabs her boob. I'm like, fucking Thomas.
Oh,
okay, carry on.
Okay, I was wondering what he said. I couldn't understand him because it was ruffly. Like, he's speaking into duvet. And I went back, I listened to it three times, and I thought to myself, is it really that important for me to know what Thomas Ravenel just said? It was probably something disgusting.
It was. There was a lot of important stuff in the scene. That, he's a disgusting pig. And I also like that the cameraman was like, look, he didn't do coke this morning because they had the camera up his nose. I'm like, that doesn't count. It's like, what are you trying to prove? Cut it out, cameraman.
Yeah. So now we go to Cameron's house, and Patricia calls up, and she wants to do a co-ed baby shower for Cameron. She wants to host it and throw it for her. And Cameron's like, okay, great, I'm going to put together some names. And Patricia's like, well, since I'm throwing the party, that should be my call. So no Jennifer Snowden, no Catherine, and no Koopa. All right?
Koopa. Hey, darling, how you feeling? Cameron's like, large and not in charge. And she goes, I vaguely remember that feeling. Michael walking through the house carrying Whitney in his stomach. You want to talk about an awkward day? I want to see that moment where they had to cut Whitney out of Michael's stomach. Because you know what happened.
It's called the movie Junior. I saw that movie. It was terrible. You ever see that
How
movie?
How dare you?
Do you ever
Have
see
you
Junior?
Seen The Wiz?
Have you seen Junior?
Yes, of course, with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm going to try to find a movie I haven't seen at this point.
I'm just going to lie. You know I'm going to lie now.
I know,
every
that's
movie you
the
say,
thing.
I'm just going to lie.
Anyway, yeah, so basically Cameron is concerned that Patricia is going to invite everyone but Catherine, and then, you know, Cameron's concerned that she's basically going to make Catherine mad.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like that Cameron's acting like she gives a crap.
Yeah.
So then over at Catherine's apartment, she's with her kids, which is cute.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm really glad they're at the age when they can interact more. What do you want to make out of Play-Doh? And he's like, mushrooms, mommy. It's like, oh, Jesus. Come on, let's steer them away from the mushrooms, okay? That's what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah, it was just sort of like a standard scene of, like, children playing and her tending to them and saying how she's trying harder and things like that and working towards joint custody and, you know, the sort of stuff you don't tune into Bravo for.
Yeah. The baby's making a margarita glass with Play-Doh. It's like, no!
The baby's running down a dock going, Daddy!
Don't go! So then we're back at Thomas's house, and he's getting out a pan that's obviously never been used in its life. You can just tell.
Yeah.
And he's like, put the coconut in the frying pan. Ugh, Thomas! Even his little songs while he's about to fry an egg make me mad.
I know.
It's not how it goes, Thomas.
So he goes, he gives us a little insight into some Southern hospitality. He goes, when I have a lady over, my typical morning routine is to make some coffee, of course, cook us some eggs, mix in a little Plan B in there, too. Yeah, that's right, but no on abortion.
God, he is... Yeah, exactly. on the day after abortions. Morning after abortions are fine. He's like, speaking of eggs, Ashley, woman with a real heart, how are your eggs doing? They don't call me the impregnator for nothing. Ugh. And then he winks and smirks at the camera.
Yeah. And then she's like, Thomas, stop while you're ahead. He goes, what about head? I'm like, oh my God, how about plan C through Z to purge this scene from my head?
You got to love his morning after talk. He's like, so I'm just curious, have you ever had a pregnancy scare? God. And she's like, yes. Remember when I asked you to come to the bathroom with me at Shep's house and everyone thought we were doing coke, but I really was just on my period and we talked about it behind the closed door? It's like, gross. And she goes, and you ask, and then they cut to him and he's like, are you taking the morning after pill? The show!
And she's like, well, I'm looking at my fertility window on my phone, it's like really pretty. Look at all these different fertility windows. It's like you're looking at Instagram right now.
Kim Zolciak's face is not a fertility window, okay?
And she's like, well, you know, if by some chance I get pregnant, it would be a blessing. And you could just see him just hitting the panic button. He doesn't even have a panic button. He's just pressing things, hoping that they are panic buttons that have been installed while he wasn't there. He's like, how do I open up the trap door to send Ashley out of here? Trap
door. Kidding. His whole house is probably like a panic room just to lock pregnant girls out.
Yeah.
She's like Jodie Foster runs in there. She's like, save me from the pregnant girls.
And then she's like, you love me. You love me a lot. And he's like, yeah. So eat those eggs real quick, can't you? Thanks.
Yeah,
they don't work as well in the afternoon.
He's like, yeah, I'm glad you had the eggs. The next thing we're going to do is punch ourselves in the stomach. Come on over here, young lady. He's gross. And she's like, I'm not taking the pill. I'm just looking at a fertility app, which means she's trying to get pregnant with your baby. And yes. He just thinks it's fun. Like, he's probably trying to impregnate her with his kid just to have someone else to yell at.
Has he just never listened to Ace of Base? Has he never learned the lessons? All that she wants is another baby. She's gone tomorrow.
But she's not gone tomorrow. She's there forever. It's like he's collecting babies. I don't know what his deal is. If he thinks that that's youthful, if he thinks they're going to be able to farm new white jeans for him. I don't know what he's thinking, but he's obviously like putting little babies on a board like chess pieces, you know, or checkers.
This calls for some Trixie Monocle. You know, she's got a fertility window and she's gone tomorrow, but she's back in the afternoon.
She's got ovaries.
Read about them in magazines. Doo-doo.
Oh, my God.
Fertility.
It's easy as a 1 and a 3 internationally.
It's as easy as a plus or a negative or see the doctor.
So dark. It's like, so, I don't even, we know what's coming on this fucking show. It's okay, Southern Charm.
Easy. Clear blue easy. It's dark, but clear and blue and easy.
Oh, this show is so dark, man. Okay, so Cameron is Cameron's with her Tonta doll, which is hilarious because that's like a good luck doll, and it's just this hideous little witch sitting on her couch.
Yeah, you love the Tonta doll. Tonta, yes, made an appearance in Irvine, which was really unexpected. Tonta was wearing her Taco Bell swag. That was so nice. The Taco Bell people actually outfitted Tonta for the occasion.
Yeah,
so
she was wearing a Taco Bell bodysuit.
Yeah.
Which I will be wearing at the Philadelphia or the San Francisco show for Gay Pride. So,
yeah.
If you need a reason to buy tickets, there you go.
Yeah,
I'll be better than Thomas in this scene with his boobs coming out of his rope.
I know. Everybody's gay pride shape.
Yes. Oh yeah, now. Gay pride shape. Too late for me.
Had a bagel.
Yeah. At this point, I'm just hoping to close everybody's fertility windows.
Yeah. So speaking of which, Cameron's at home. We now go to Cameron, and a woman named Kathy shows up with a little red ball, and I was hoping that she was going to be like teaching rhythmic gymnastics. But she's actually a childbirth coach. But I thought it would have been fun if there was some, you know, you already have that cooking teacher. So why not like a gymnastics teacher?
I know. She's like, I'm here to teach you about childbirth. And she's like, can you make a roast? I still cannot make a fucking roast. Can we just start there?
Yeah. So because Cameron's husband is a doctor and already knows how to do this stuff, and he also doesn't like being on TV, Whitney comes over to participate in the childbirthing tutorial instead.
God, in his young person tracksuit jacket thing. Yeah. He's like,
oh, mother.
Catherine's like, or what's her name? Kathy? I just wrote Kathy.
Kathy.
Kathy's like, visualize your perfect birth experience. And Cameron goes, I would pick my baby off a tree. Okay.
And I wouldn't have Whitney there.
Yeah, no kidding. I wouldn't have Whitney in his giant herpes scab right there. Did you notice he had a giant herp on his lip? It's like, come on.
I didn't.
She's like, did you? Yeah, a big one. And she's, ugh.
I know, it stunned you. I'm like, I'm going to let, you're basically Super Mario who's run into a cactus. Like, oh, wah, 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 wah. I have a question. Online, I think it was with two judgy girls, but it may have been the Bravo Betches. I forget. Someone on Instagram posted an image of Whitney, T-Rav, and JD and asked, marry, fuck, kill. Do you have any insights?
JD, Whitney, and T-Rav?
Yeah.
Kill myself. I would just kill myself so I wouldn't have to make the choice.
I think that given that those are the choices, so here's my thing. I think I would actually, this is shocking. I think I would marry Whitney because We would probably...
He's got money.
He's got money. Well, we'd probably just be catty together and just make fun of people. I mean, be honest. You know that that's what you do with Whitney. T-Rav, I think I would fuck him because he probably is a good fuck, maybe, considering. Ugh. Considering. And then I would kill JD because he's got an annoying laugh. He's a con artist. I don't feel like he's as good in bed as T-Rav, and I don't think he's as catty as Whitney, so he doesn't have any purpose. So, kill JD. I apologize for really bringing that terrible scenario into all of our worlds. Let's go into something a little bit less terrible, which is Whitney helping Cameron in her childbirth exercises, and he's got his hands all over her, and he's like, huh, getting felt up by Uncle Whitney.
Mother, stop! Stop!
It's just deeply unpleasant. Oh my god, Ronnie and I just had a host of technical issues, and so he may now sound a little different, but he's still here, much like Whitney still has his hands on Cameron's booty.
Yeah, so now they start talking about this baby shower they're going to have, and of course the theme is super 1960s waspy, which is, you know, Patricia. She's one of those people who's always on the man side. It's like, let's go back to the 60s where people are still in, you know, doing what their husband wants. And I feel like she acts like really Southern and assholishness, but she lives like the most modern life, you know?
Right. Well, it's hard to tell with her. I mean, I feel like she's down with the gays. I feel like she is, I think. I don't know. I mean, in some ways, it seems like she could be progressive, but in other ways, she's very, I kind of would not be surprised if she was the exact opposite. I can't tell with her.
Well, she pretends she's got all these manners, but she's been married how many times, and now she's like banging a new rich old dude to get a big ring. So it's like, I don't know, but that's my kind of, that's my kind of progress.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't read enough about her personal bio to know, to weigh in on whether or not I think she's a gold digger. So I can't co-sign on that yet, but.
Oh, she's a gold digger, all right. But I'm just saying I'm okay with it.
Oh, okay. So far. I'm more okay with that than Whitney, like, being, like, pervy with Cameron. And, like, his hands are, like, around her vag. And he's like, should I massage it? So, anyway, yeah.
Alive with pleasure, mother.
Mother. So, yeah, so the theme for this baby shower is going to be 1960s Côte d'Azur. And cool. I have nothing else to say about it.
Yeah, she's like, I want to have a pre-feminism baby party for you, darling, because you're married. Okay, so Austin is at a place called Fuel for a Beer. And Austin, you know, he's one of those guys who quit his job too early.
Yeah, I don't know what sort of career path he was going to be on, but I think he does everything a little too early in the bad way, right? Goes home too early.
Well, he has that mouth thing going on where it's like his mouth is his mouth. It's like he's in a Japanese movie still where his mouth is. The words are saying one thing, but his mouth is saying. And by the way, I have to say I'm hunched over this other microphone on my desk. It's like really low on my desk. And so I'm going to be cross-eyed from looking at my notes on this giant screen.
Welcome to my podcast life. I'm always hunched over. Why do you think on the live shows lately I'm doing the handhelds? Because I'm like, I can sit back in a chair and talk for once.
Oh, well, normally I like being hunched over, but I mean, I'm naturally hunched over, but this is a lot even for me. I'm like dragging my knuckles at this point.
Yeah, no, I'm always hunched over. 5 hours a week, hunched over this little microphone. I guess I should probably get something more ergonomic. It probably explains why my posture has gotten so bad. So anyway, so we see Austin at this bar, and he is like talking to the bartender about beer. He's like, beer, hops, barley, whatever. And Austin's like, you know, one of the great things about my job was that, as a beer seller guy, I got to meet all these bartenders. So I know all the bartenders around town, and it's like, I'm like low key famous. I'm like, okay, this is a very low bar for fame.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, a lot of cashiers at Ross know me. You don't see me with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you know? Fucker. He's like, the bad side is they know all my business. I'm like, you bang 20-year-olds just like everybody else in this fucking town. Does any man do anything else in this town other than bang 20-year-olds?
And you're on TV. So that's probably why they know you and are in your business.
Yeah. So Craig comes to meet him, and Austin's like, whoa, I've got a question. Are you like, this is awesome. Now I'm single, so I could check out babes. And Greg's like, well, it's not like I was dating someone ugly and now I can check out hot girls.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Craig's like, he's like, yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's like hard and slow going. I mean, God, like, make me like guys. Make me gay. My life would be a little easier.
No, it wouldn't. Who thinks that? Like, life harder. Would be easier if I'm gay? I've never heard anybody say that.
Yeah, you should go to some rural towns. It's just so easy to be gay there.
Well, not just that, but you think some queen ain't going to be bitching at you all day for making pillows? I would. I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm a podcaster, okay? I have a very low bar. It's not like I expect a lawyer or something. But I'd be like, are you really using like a predetermined font to make a pillow? Get off your ass! Get a job!
So Shep arrives and he pulls a line out of the Carl playbook by going, hey, gents! Hey! Gosh!
Well, they're boys out of the same life playbook, so that makes sense. Shep still hasn't taken a shower from his party. I wish I did a close-up of his feet, because you know they're the same.
Oh my god, they've probably turned, like, colors that the human eye can't even process anymore. Just, like, only dogs can see the colors of his feet at this point. And Shep sits down, he's like, hey, Craig, remember my birthday party when you said to flip with ribs? And you see a flashback of Craig looking at, like, a rib recipe, and he's like, to flip or not to flip? That is the question. Oh, gosh, Craig. Don't bring Shakespeare into this. I should have called you Grill Shakespeare. Oh, missed opportunity. Austin's like cracking up as if he even understands what's going on.
I know. I wrote they guffaw. And would you ever write that except on Southern Charm notes?
Oh, Craig, don't use the master's words with your ribs. Gosh, Craig.
Gosh, to flip or not to flip. And then Craig's like, well, it did turn out somehow. I'm like, yeah, because you went upstairs and started drinking and somebody else finished it. I think Austin, right?
Austin. Me thinks something is rotten in the state of Charleston. Gosh, see, that's a good Shakespeare pun.
Something's rotten in the state of Sausage Mark.
All the world's a smoker and all the men and women merely smoking. Gosh, get it?
Meat Sausage Night's dream, gosh.
Bubble, bubble, toiling Craig, gosh.
Sausage, sausage, boiling sausage, gosh. I'm just going to say sausage with everything, okay?
I know. I wish I knew more Shakespearean quotes. And the problem is that for some reason we were talking about Shakespeare yesterday, so we're just reusing our Shakespeare jokes a day later.
Yeah, I'm too stupid for this. I can call other people
smokers,
stupid.
It was the worst of smokers. Gosh, that isn't even Shakespeare.
Out, damn sausage. Gosh.
If you prick me, does my meat not smoke? Gosh. A smoker, a kingdom for my smoker.
Sausage, wherefore art thou, sausage? Sorry, I don't know much Shakespeare, but I do know sausage.
A2, smoker.
So let's see. Craig's talking about Naomi, and he says, yeah, Naomi came up over to me, and it was like, nice face, Naomi. It wasn't like her mean face, you know? And I was like, whoa, thank God it's not mean face, Naomi. And Austin's like, well, clearly you still care for her, but, like, if you break up with them and then you keep talking to them, they'll never get over it. It's like, don't feed a stray cat, bro.
Gosh, who would even do that? And Craig is, like, feeding, like, 10 stray cats. What, guys? I wasn't listening.
He's making pillows for 10 different stray cats.
Captain Gizmo. Was that his name? Captain Gizmo? Colonel Gizmo? Whatever his name is.
Where's Gizmo? Yeah, have we seen him?
No, we saw a non-Gizmo cat instead.
I need to know what happened to Gizmo. I'm getting worried now.
I'm a little worried, too.
So let's see. Shep's like, I root for you until I try and ruin your life again. Gosh. So next is Chelsea. God, this is so close to the fucking screen. So Chelsea and Cameron. Chelsea's like, no, I've known Cameron in every stage of life. Like when she was single, and then when she was married, and then now that she's pregnant.
I remember when she was on Real World and I was on Survivor.
I knew her pre-puberty, then through puberty, then post-puberty, then when she dated somebody, Then after she dated somebody, when she learned to drive, when she got her first speeding ticket, I was like, speed it up, Chelsea.
When she downloaded a Starbucks app, when she got an Albertsons rewards card.
When she finally won Starbucks bingo, that was a big one.
That was really big. She had to go to Starbucks two different weekends and not get arrested.
I'm just implanting my friendship with you onto her. She really tried for that bingo for a long time. I swear she kept that place open.
It's like that time, I remember, there was that time that she made lasagna and put it on Instagram.
That time that DoorDash took a really long time to get to her house.
Oh, DoorDash is lucky I've not unloaded on this podcast about what the fuck happened earlier this week, because that was no joke, okay? No joke. Don't use DoorDash. That's what I'm saying to people.
Well, I actually didn't know what it was until I went into a Wendy's, because I was like, who are you, Daddy Warbucks? You're not calling Postmates for Wendy's. Go into the goddamn Wendy's, you know? So I went into Wendy's, and they're like, you can order through DoorDash. So I looked it up on my phone, because I was like, maybe it's better than Postmates. And everybody's like, you wait 10 hours, and then it comes cold, and it's the wrong thing.
Yeah, okay. Now I've got to tell everyone what happened. I'll make it short. Basically, I went over to my friend Stacy's place, and we ordered dinner, and it was for a bunch of us, so she ordered from a sushi place. It was like a $200 order. She placed the order, and then like an hour and a half later, it's like, where is this DoorDash? I was like, I'm not surprised, because DoorDash is always slow and expensive. But then the driver's like going around in circles. So then she gets in contact. Apparently the restaurant never even received the order from DoorDash, so the driver got there, then had to wait while the restaurant made it. Then the restaurant finally gave it to the guy, and the guy drove to the wrong address. Then the guy finally gets to our place. This is 2 hours later. It's like 10 p.m., starving out of our mind. And she's on the phone. Stacy's on the phone with support. And support's like, by the way, the driver would like more money because it was such a long thing. It's like, are you kidding me? It's already a $200 order, and you want more money when, like, DoorDash...
$200 on DoorDash? What'd you order, an orphan? It was Jesus.
Yes, we ordered an orphan. But the point is that, like, it was – because it was a bunch of us. You know, those things add up. But, like, the point is that DoorDash didn't send the thing over to the restaurant, or the restaurant messed up, and then the driver messed up. Either way, we are not paying extra money, and how dare they ask us to?
Agreed.
So that's why –
That's a lot of damn nerve, DoorDash.
You know, I will sometimes pop off on a company on Twitter, and they respond, and they fix it. I'm not, like, this is, that's, that to me is an unfixable situation. That is so terrible. I suggest everyone delete your DoorDash apps, unless DoorDash wants to advertise for this podcast, in which case we love DoorDash.
Yeah, and in which case we love you. We need 2 hours to prepare.
We need that time.
For the amazing food you're bringing. Austin needs a new business, so maybe he can just invent, like, DoorGarsh. It'll be just Shep showing up with dirty feet.
Your
order. I hope it's right.
It didn't seem like this is the sort of food that would be appropriate for this household, so I got you a sandwich instead. Garsh pie. He's just passing judgment on all your meals.
So I feel like he's the kind of guy who eats your fries. And, you know, speaking of popping off on these companies, I remember one time I was on here talking about one of those. I think it was Postmates or Uber Eats or one of those, where I was accusing somebody of eating my fries. Remember, I was so mad.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was gonna have a fit in the streets, because it happened multiple times. And I know McDonald's overfills your fries, right?
Yeah.
So now they bring them with a sticker on the bag, which is hilarious.
Good.
And I'd like to take credit for that in my own little world. I'm like, see, in my you put it out there in the universe. I can't put anything really that positive, like, no husband, there ain't no house, but I did get a sticker on my McDonald's bag. So there you go, new age people.
See,
it works.
We have a voice. Remember a few weeks ago when I complained about getting scammed by someone pretending to be United Airlines when I called to change my reservation? Remember that? And I complained on maybe the bonus episode, and someone reached out and was like, wait a second, like, tell us more, give us more information, because I work in an office that, like, shuts these people down. So I handed over all the information to them. And then she came to our DC show and she said, thank you for giving that information. Thank you for saying that on the podcast, because we found the fuckers and we shut them down. And I was like, yes, it works. America.
Well, I'm just talking about positive energy. I don't think anybody at McDonald's really. They're like, let's call a corporate meeting. Some Fagito Burrito on some Bravo podcast is complaining about his fries being missing, you know?
You never know. I mean, we got Taco Bell to show up at Irvine. You know, you never know who's listening. You never know.
That is hilarious.
You never know, Beyonce.
Crapcella. That's what we get for calling it Crapcella. Beyonce will just show up.
Yeah. Beyonce promised us next year to show up at Crapcella.
Yeah. So anyway, back with Cameron back and Chelsea. Chelsea's like, and then I knew her when she first heard Beyonce, and then I heard her when she got mad at Beyonce for staying with Jay-Z after he cheated on her. Then I remember after she heard Lemonade for the first time. I've been here through it all.
I remember when one time she drank some milk, another time she drank some milk, and then she drank some lemonade, and then round the corner, chocolate's made. Get it? See what I did there? Anyway, babies.
And Cameron's like, this baby freaks me out. Get it out of me, okay? I see my stomach moving. It's not even gas. It's just a baby. But I tanned it.
Yeah. Her stomach was all like a basted turkey. She's like, bam, here it is. And she's like, I haven't cried yet. And Chelsea's like, but I'm crying right now. How could you not be crying? I'm crying right now. I'm just looking at a lump of CGI photo of your baby. And I'm crying right now with that.
You know who's cried? That baby. They show a picture of the baby in her stomach, whatever that's called, that rendering or whatever they do where they put jelly on your stomach. And then they, what do you call it?
Ultrasound.
Yeah. So they show the ultrasound face of the baby, and it's just a little Donatella Versace in there.
She's got embryo and placenta.
It's a little roasted chicken in there on a spit. She turns a baby. Okay. So she's like, I can't believe I'm going to be a mom. And I was like, yeah, FF. Oh, no. Then she started talking about
Austin.
Austin, yeah.
And basically, Chelsea's like, well, the thing is, my problem with Austin is his lifestyle. He just drinks and sleeps and parties and wakes up and eats and goes back to partying, and I just can't be around that lifestyle. I'm like, I 100% agree, but also, is there anyone in Charleston that doesn't do that? Because that's all we see on this show, is guys just drinking until they pass out and wake up and drink some more.
Yeah, you've got a guy who highlights his hair. At least he supports your industry, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So then we cut to Austin. He's at another bar. And he's like, so, mouth movement, blah, 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 blah. Anything new I should know about? And the bartender's like, not since yesterday, you fucking loser. Get a job.
Yeah. Wasn't that the same bar where Landon was talking about Rome.com and her ambitions for that website? Doesn't matter.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Anyway, Austin's like, I love fun employment and being famous at bars, you know, it's good times. And I love beer, and I'm just enthused about my next step, whatever it may be. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's probably be about beer, unless it requires a lot of work. In that case, I might, like, go into fly swatters. I don't know. It depends how much work it is.
Yeah, speaking of fly swatters, I'll have a flight.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And then
maybe I'll own an airline.
And he starts,
I love a dreamer.
He starts, you ever see that movie Flight?
Uh-oh, caught me. What's that about? Penguins? Well, they don't fly. What's Flight about? I saw the Penguin movie where it's about love, and the penguins have to be together for life.
Flight is where Denzel Washington is an alcoholic pilot.
Oh, no. No, how did I miss that? I love a Denzel movie.
Well, now's your chance to say, well, have you seen Soap Dish? We finally finished.
No, I'm not going to say it because I'm not a hypocrite.
You're not a hypocrite. You weren't forced into a stance in the first place.
Yes, I was. I was forced into a very big movie stance, and I'm standing by it, okay? Watch Soap Dish if you fucking want to. I don't care.
Anyway, so Austin is just being annoying. He's one of these people that talks about beer in that very esoteric way. And he's like, bartender, well, tell me why a 2017 La Philly deserves to be on the reserve list. Right? Am
mouse
I right?
Fit, mouse
Am I
right? Fit, mouse fit. She's like, just leave. Yeah. How about that? How about
She's
you
like,
just
do
go
you want
get
a potato?
A job?
Okay. I'll get a baked potato.
So next is my favorite recurring scene that we get every season, which is Thomas talking to the father that hates him.
Yeah.
I love this. Arthur. He's like, hello, Dad. He's like, oh, God, stop calling me. You fucking loser. Did you get another teenager pregnant this week?
Yeah. Well, not yet.
But similarly, how's the plantation doing? You see a lot of bears and deers and coyotes? It's like, yeah, I saw a lot of bears and deers and coyotes. All right.
Well, I don't have any small dogs or house cats, and that's what they eat.
This is great. It's like Austin not having a job to some old guy bragging about not having a small dog in an old folks' home.
Well, I don't have a job these days either, but I do have a little country mouse in the apartment. I got my girl Ash. I got her an apartment downtown, and Arthur's like, she's much too nice for you, and she ain't nice at all, if you know what I'm saying, son.
He goes, how much are you paying for the place? And Thomas goes, I don't know. My bookmaker pays it.
Bookmaker.
Bookkeeper.
I think he said bookmaker.
I'm making books on the side. It's called
He's as quick as a lark. A lark's quick. I don't even know what a lark is. I'm asking a lot of questions.
You're
today,
asking,
I'm sorry,
I mean,
but I'm relying
I
on you.
I think
you,
theoretically,
man.
A lark could be fast, but I think its defining character is not that it's fast. I think it's more in, I don't know what a lark's defining character is, except that it's used more
it
commonly.
Seems like a lark.
It's a little, you're on a lark. Like, this podcast is a lark. Like, this tangent about larks is a lark. Not to be confused with lark orgies.
Yeah,
DoorDash.
DoorDash,
can you deliver us a thesaurus, please? Baked into a shepherd's pie.
So really all Thomas wants is a table. He's like, are you moving out of the old folks home? I want that table. He's like, well, thanks for calling, you little brat. Okay. Yeah. And then the dad, we see where Thomas gets it from, because he's like, well, treat that girl right. And remember, if you can't spend it or make love to it, you gotta laugh at it.
So Catherine shows up at Craig's house and she's brought a little housewarming gift, which is a tiny little box that says herbs on it. And it's full of seeds. Which is really cute and hilarious. And so she brings that, and he's like, oh, these are exactly the sort of seeds I'm going to use.
And it's right in the season.
And she, when she knocks, because the doorbell doesn't ring, of course, because it's Craig's house. But she knocks, and there's like a little angel over the knocker, and she has to put her hand under the dress, and she's like,
that feels inappropriate.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. That's hilarious.
He's like, we've always somehow connected on seeds, you know? So then he's showing her his house. He's like, this is the murder room. And he has a whole room that's a closet.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing. And well, how he's not gay yet. Do you think he's gay with his little roommate friend?
No, I don't think so. I think he's got a hobby. He's showing off all his pillowcases. And they have some of them have like little tassels and pom-poms. And he's like, well, when I left Naomi, I had nothing but my sewing machine, and, I made my first pillow, and I kind of got the same high I got from gardening. That classic pillow high. I've been chasing it since first grade in arts class, when I had to, had to make a pillow.
That pillow high, snorting those pillows. Like, damn it, I've ruined my nose.
Man, sewing two squares on top of each other and then turning them inside out and stuffing them with stuff. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
I hope you get a high from lawsuits, because the minute you start selling these pillows, you're getting sued. He's like, look, I made a baby pillow with a tooth pocket in front. Someone's going to poke their eye out with that.
Well, whatever. He's not going to make any money off of it, because Bravo's going to own them. They're like, oh, you made a pillow and you advertised it on our show. Guess what? That's ours now.
Skinny pillows.
Tipsy pillow. Is that good? Does that work?
Cheetah pillow brand. So he's like, it's really nice to be able to make pillows without somebody making fun of me and telling me to piss off. And Catherine's like, did I mention I fucked Thomas again in New York? And he's like, no!
Did you at least use my pillow? No. I can make one of those sheets if you're a Hasidic Jew, you know, with the hole. I can do that.
Oh, God. Those are accidents.
I don't even know what you mean by that, but I'll just laugh.
Just when, because he makes a lot of accidents when he's making his stuff. Because remember when Cameron opens her package later, she's like, what is this? A teddy bear? A pillow? A decapitated head? I have no idea what this is.
Well, Catherine, they start talking about Ashley, and Catherine's like, yeah, Thomas is getting played, you know. And Carrie's like, no, I think that she's a hopeless romantic. She's like, no, she's getting played because I hooked up with Thomas in New York. And they show a flashback to the reunion of Thomas being like, hey, little lady, like winking his eyes, like, you know.
Yeah. Catherine's like one of those, it's like, you can't protect a crash test dummy. No. You know what I mean? You're like, don't do it! And then they crash into a wall. And you're like, well, all I can do is support you.
All I can do is support you and wish you better luck on the next ride. Yeah, Catherine's like, the last time I saw Thomas in New York will probably be the last time I see him in a romantic light. I'm like, until the next reunion. You guys hook up at every reunion.
Yeah, and apparently he told her he loved her and wants more babies. Like, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, so then they're, Plan B. Let's move on to some Plan B.
Let's move on to Patricia's house for the big baby-making ceremony party shower. All right.
Michael. Yeah, so Chelsea's first. I feel like that's every party ever. Well, first, like, I remember me. I remember you. Remember the first time I met you was before you were married. And then the second time I met you was when you got married.
Have you seen the giant tidal wave in my salon? No, you should see it. So Patricia comes down the stairs wearing like a caftan and all sorts of feathery, ruffly things. And she's like, RuPaul, eat your heart out. I'm like, I think RuPaul's doing just fine.
Yeah, I don't think that's what RuPaul's going for.
Yeah. Yeah, the party's there. Everyone's getting dressed for the party. Craig is sewing like a madman. He's trying to sew together that little teddy bear thing, and he's getting mad because the pattern that he's using from the internet is like a bad pattern. He's like, lady, your pattern sucks.
Then Thomas, of course, comes in white pants tucked into his boots. Is that just his thing? I guess that's just his thing. I wear white jeans.
Yeah, well, because the theme is supposed to be, what was the guy's name? Slim Aaron, something like that, which is the guy who photographed all these 1960s Palm Springs, mid-century modern fab kind of fashions. And so everyone's coming in looking sort of 60s chic, and his version is to come in wearing his polo uniform. He's just wearing like a fleece vest and white jeans and boots.
They had polo in the 60s. And you know that Patricia hates this Ashley girl because she goes, oh, a blonde Jackie.
Yeah. I knew Jackie. I socialized with Jackie. And you, ma'am, I know Jackie.
I did steal this baseball from a house, though. It's 100 years old and worth $19 million. Whitney looks great. He looks like a crazy old lady. As usual.
Yeah, his paisley blazer. Although Austin gives him a run for his money because Austin shows up with some bonkers flower blazer. It's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's very Austin Powers, baby.
It was very, very much. I'm glad to see he's put his spare time to good use. You know, if he came in with a bad outfit, I'd be like, you literally have nothing to do all day. You could have gone to every thrift shop in South Carolina.
Yeah, so he did a good job. So Patricia's like, I don't understand why Craig isn't a lawyer, but if he wants to make pillows and it makes him happy, go for it.
Well, that's yes.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, it's like the nicest thing she's ever said about anybody.
Well, that's she said it because Craig came in and he goes, well, instead of bringing a bottle of wine, I brought you some pillows just for fun. And she's like, oh, all right. Some poor people pillows. Okay, Michael, these can be for your stable.
I don't need pillows. I've got Michael. Michael, come over here and lay behind my head, please.
Yeah, she did not know what to do with this. She wasn't like, oh, aren't these nice? She's like, okay, all right. I'm just going to rotate till a member of the help just takes these out of my hands. Rotating, rotating, rotating. All right, I'm done a full circle. Anyone going to come? We're going to rotate. There you go. There you go, Missy. There you go. Take it.
Hey, blonde Jackie, you can be our lazy Susan. Rotator.
Or as I call Lazy Susan and Ashley, because she's inherently lazy. So Thomas is like, I like a ton of honey. That's what I like. I like a nice tiny honey. So tiny, it's almost inverted. Like the honey's coming out of the vagina.
Ugh, turn around, Ashley. Disgusting.
Yeah.
So Naomi's there, and she's just staring at Craig all mad, which was hilarious to me. She's just mad for no reason now. She's like, I'm going to be mad.
Well, I'm they curious. Broke up. That's why she's mad. Like, because it's like resentments. Too many lingering resentments. Or maybe she's mad because we see Craig try to drink out of his wine glass and he spills it out of his glass before it even gets to his mouth. He just like tilts it. Like, just the basics of drinking out of glass. he blunders.
And poor like, guy. And then she goes, ugh. And Whitney goes, I know the feeling. Jeez.
So Cameron finally shows up and she's with a very handsome man named Eddie, which was nice. I think the first time we've had some diversity on this show in 5 years, at least diversity that got a title. So that was exciting.
He's been on. He shows up at the end parties.
Oh yeah. I was wondering if he had been at one of the, like the founder's balls before. He's looked
the
vaguely
founder's
familiar.
Balls.
Founder's balls.
Yes. Dude, he's been at those, I believe. So Naomi and Chelsea are talking, and she's like, Naomi's like, well, I've been mad at Craig now, so I've done that. Now I need to try and stick up for Catherine. I'm like, wow, Naomi's really going to earn that paycheck this year. She's yeah, like, she I'm really a regular. Is. I'm going to cause shit wherever I go.
Yeah, exactly. So she is talking to Chelsea about how she's been having these great conversations with Catherine lately, and she's really been changing since rehab, and she just feels like maybe Patricia should give her another shot. And Chelsea's like, that's a great idea. I really think you should go tell Patricia. I'm being sarcastic right now. Can you tell I'm being sarcastic? I guess not, because you're walking up to Patricia right now.
Yeah, I'll be hiding in the garage. Right? Remember when I knew you before Patricia murdered you, and then I knew you while Patricia was murdering you?
I'll go in the other room and pay my respects to you with the group and remember you during the good times before your face was maimed.
I love maim. It's like, okay, Patricia, that's how to get on her good side. She's like, open a new window indeed. Michael. Okay, so Naomi goes up to her and she's like, Miss Patricia, can I speak with you in the dining room? She's like, what's going on, dear? As she eats the head off a rabbit.
Yeah, Patricia's giving already very nasty looks because she was in the kitchen like sampling something when Naomi was like, Pat, can you come here? So she's like, oh, what's going on, non-cast member? What are you doing? What's going on? And so Naomi's like, well, I've been talking with Catherine a lot recently, and you know, it turns out she's like really cool, and
someone's coming in. I must go see them. She just walks away and gives the camera a look like, bitch.
God. You don't get to my age without dealing with these little young trots once in a while.
When you're at someone's house, you shouldn't bring your grievances to light. I was like, shut up, prim and proper Patricia.
I mean, I don't think that what Naomi did was the biggest crime, but I think probably she shouldn't have. I mean, it's the host of the party. Like, why are you trying to put her on the spot on camera in this awkward? Just, like, have the party.
Because she's the one ignoring, like, leaving someone out of a shooting day again on purpose. She's, like, a power-hungry bitch. And you can't talk to her outside of the house because she never leaves the goddamn house. So when is she supposed to talk to you about it?
That's true. But it was pretty amazing how she just nipped that in the bud by literally walking away. I'm sorry, I got a ghost that's showing up at the front door. I gotta go speak to the ghost, make sure he's okay. Can't see him. He's there.
And then obviously just doesn't do it. She's like, I'm gonna sit by Cameron.
Yeah. So they're all sitting in the living room having a fun time. And then Whitney brings out the cake, which is like a red velvet cake. But he like put a baby doll on the top where it was super red. And it just looked like bloody and like afterbirth and gross.
Yeah, and he made it where strawberries are surrounding it, so it looks like the baby's coming out of a strawberry goopy vagina. I mean, that's disgusting.
And he goes, it's actually a projection as it comes out of Cameron. I'm like, you're supposed to be eating this cake, you know?
He's like, I've made a documentary about this.
Yeah, I wonder if his documentary is still on Netflix. Maybe it's no longer Netflix worthy.
Well, hopefully they'll get Patricia's new documentary. We'll eat it in the butler's pantry.
Send it to Michael's house, the butler's pantry.
So Naomi and Craig are talking, and she's like, well, I just had the most awkward interaction with Patricia, and I thought maybe if I did this, and he's like, yeah, you shouldn't have done that. She's like, yeah, now I feel so bad, because, like, no one should be made to feel like nothing. That's not real. And then you hear in the other room, wah! people are so fucking evil. They're like evil in their Sunday's best.
They are. They're just like laughing at Craig because they open up Craig's present, which is that handmade monkey slash teddy bear. And they're just cracking up. And they're like, where is Craig? And Shep goes, he's talking politics with the refrigerator. And I actually guffawed at that. I don't know why. That just like cracked me up because I could actually imagine Craig having a discussion with a Sub-Zero.
Well, it was kind of true because he was talking friend politics with his cold ex. You know?
Oh, shit.
So it was like kind of on. And Craig's like, well, look, we're all growing. And she's like you? You're growing? He's like, I'm trying to grow. She goes, what are you doing to grow? It's like, what are you going to break up with again? Are you going to break up with him again? Like, how many times can you break up with the guy? Leave him alone.
Yeah, and she's like, well, he's like, I've gotten, like, so much stuff done in the past 2 months. Like, and she's like, well, okay, so, like, you've gotten more stuff done the past 2 months than the past 3 years when you were with me. So what does that say about me? What are you trying to say about me? I was like, whoa. Open wounds.
Like, that's a loaded question because then you're saying I didn't do anything in the time I was with you.
Like, yeah, that is what she's saying.
But... Well, she's like, I said more. You've done more. Not nothing, Craig, lawyer Craig. And he's like, how on earth would you do more in 2 months than you would do in 3 years unless you thought that person was a loser? I'm like, I'm getting lost in all the logic here.
Me too. It's too much. And she's also doing everything she can to piss off Patricia. Because first she talks to Patricia and then she fights in her home.
Like, yeah.
Why don't you just go poop on the floor?
Meanwhile, Cameron is like crying with laughter at Craig's monkey because there's like areas in the back where it's all messed up. And she's like, oh, look, here's where he messed up and didn't do it right, Craig.
And it actually says Pat on the back. Oh. He like sewed it Pat. I guess it was like part of the Patricia pillow he was making.
Oh, yes. Man, that's probably what it was.
I love that on the back of the teddy bear's ass is Patricia. That's just perfect. So, but Naomi's still fighting with him, and you just hear Cameron cracking up the whole time, and it's not just a little bit. Then they all jump in, and they're all cracking up and making fun of what a loser Craig is. It's like this poor guy and his poor new boyfriend having to sit there listening to it all. It's a rough time.
Oh, man. So he and Naomi are just like, now they're just fully fighting and talking about, like, she's saying how she turns into a different person when she's around Craig and that she trusted him and he would always let her down and like, she didn't like his lifestyle, missing meetings and sleeping in and all that stuff. And he's like, I'm the same person when you started dating me. Like, I missed meetings when we started dating, not just when we stopped dating. I've always been the responsible.
I'm the same person that was doing nothing when we traveled the world together. What's the problem? And she's like, well, I decided not to waste my life. And I decided to wake up and do shit. And you just sit at home and you sew and you pretend to do things. And he's like, what's wrong with my sewing?
Cut to like the pat on the back of the teddy bear ass.
I know.
So good.
Well, yeah, did the teddy bear actually just like fall apart at one point? It looked like they were holding up tatters of cloth.
It just imploded.
Yeah, they say, what's wrong with my sewing? It's like, no, there's something literally wrong with your sewing because your teddy bear is falling apart.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I have a house, so tell me I'm a loser at 29. And she's like, it's not about assets, Craig.
It's like, well, it kind of is. And then she's like, I got my shit together, unlike you. And he's like, you still live off your parents, which is kind of a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. But I still feel like she has her shit together more than Craig, though. Even if she does live with her parents. Because her parents are, like, French and fabulous. Who wouldn't want to live with them?
Or live off of them. I don't know if she, like, lives with them or if she still lives in that same old house or whatever.
Yeah.
But then this fight ends with Cameron opening an actual teddy bear that someone bought her.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, look at this. Well, it's the effort that counts. And Whitney's like, apparently not. Such a bitter old lady. I love it.
So now the big bombshell, JD shows up and he's brought Elizabeth. He's like, hey, Miss Patricia, nervous, hi.
Scared, what?
JD Nervous was weird because he got very effeminate. He was like, hello there, Miss Patricia, how are you? Well, I guess that's more British. How are you, girlfriend? Snap, snap, RuPaul, eat your heart up. Wah!
Sorry, we're behind. Rush, rush, rush. Hunty, hunty.
We got a little caught up in fighting over our crumbling marriage. I mean, it's great. Wah!
So now Naomi's like, okay, I've pissed Patricia off by talking about Catherine. Then I fought in her home with Craig. Now I'm just gonna start shit with Liz. Yeah. So she's talking to Chef and Whitney and or whatever, and she's like, "I cannot believe she's here with him. How could she do this to me after all I said to him last time?" Like, now that she's yelled at the guy, Liz can never talk to the guy again. Oh my God, well,
because
Naomi.
Because it's true. Because JD bringing Elizabeth is his way of saying, basically, yeah, we're separated, but we're still on good terms. So all those things that you ladies were saying is fucking wrong, and I've won. And they all pick up on it. And Naomi's like, well, now I don't know what to do. And now this is super awkward. And she obviously knows about the shit I've been saying. And so Shep is like, oh, gosh, don't worry. We're in the South. You can just be super fake. Just hug her big and then say to JD, nice to see you, and you'll see everything will be fine. She's like, okay, but I'm French. I'm not from here. Okay, I'll try it. And so she tries it, and it works perfectly. It's just like, smile it, fake it till you make it.
Yeah, well, she doesn't really smile. She's like, hello, how are you? And he's like,
gentry bourbon.
Yeah, and so then she's... you know, looking off to the side, really pissed. And she's like, his smirk is palpable. My heart is beating out of my chest right now. And Shep's like, keeping up appearances. It's the South. Look at me. That's why I always take care of my appearances so much. I'm wearing Guy Fieri sunglasses today. I own diners and drive-ins and dives. She's just pissed, you know. And she's like, I know he feels like he's winning. I know he feels like he's winning.
And then JD, you know, he's walking around kissing everyone's ass, and he's like, that's a gorgeous cake, Patricia. Wah! I'm like, no, it's not. Everyone agreed it's not a gorgeous cake. You're lying now, JD. Everyone knows you're lying.
It's a gorgeous cake.
A destroyed vagina. Just what I've worked for my entire marriage.
So all the girls get together on the couch, and he senses a Chick-fil-A storm brewing. So he's like, better go, Liz. Say goodbye, Liz. I don't want to be here when that conversation starts. Blah!
Blah! Good to see everybody. Blah! And everyone's like,
And the girls are just ready to pounce. And Liz is like, hi, girls. And Naomi's like, bah, fuck you.
Stop. Don't be like that. Stop. Bye.
And Naomi just flips some double fingers. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but I do know what it's like when you stand up for when your girlfriend's like, everything's terrible, and then they're back together with them. And then everything's terrible, and then they're back together with them. And it's like a merry-go-round. But I think Chelsea had it right when she's like, you did what you could do. You did your due diligence, which has been said, I think, 3 times in this episode, by the way. People are very into due diligence today on Southern Charm.
They're all lawyers like Craig.
Your pillow diligence. So she's like, you've done your due diligence as a friend, but it's not your duty.
Yeah. But it does suck for Naomi because she did go above and beyond to defend Elizabeth. And then Elizabeth's like, no, I'm going to be here with my husband. Everything's fine. And that's like, that sucks.
Well, yeah, but you take shit in your relationship until you decide, you know, like you have to be able to vent with your friends and not expect them to go be like, okay, this is it. It's over now.
No. Well, I think the thing is that I don't think Naomi was doing it to stand up for Elizabeth necessarily, even though that was part of it. I think it was just like JD is acting like a pig and he's trying to play like, oh, Mr. Sweet JD, almost the victim in this situation. And he's not. And he's wronged a lot of people and he owes a lot of people lot of money. And so she's like, I'm going to take a stand. But part of that was that she was totally taking a stand for Elizabeth. But she same.
Yeah, I'm totally for her standing against JD. He's a prick. Yeah. I just don't know about being mad at Liz after, you know?
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens because the awkwardness will continue next week on the next Southern Charm. In the meantime, let's wrap up this episode with some Crappin's Mailbag.
Let's do our band.
Yay. I mean, it's supposed to be playing now. I don't know if it's actually playing.
It's not.
Dong, 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 dong. Okay, we pretend like you all just heard. Oh, you know why? Because it was going to my Apple TV. That would have been really awkward if someone were watching it right now. Don't you hate when Apple Play does that? Anyway, let's go to the Crappin's mailbag. And while I pull that up, because I had to restart my browser, Ronnie, why don't you tell everyone what the mailbag is all about?
Well, the mailbag is a section where you send us mail and we read it and talk about it. It's on Patreon. And thank you to everybody who's on Patreon. Thank you so much. Our hangout is actually coming up soon. Video chat hangout on El Google. It's our monthly party.
mm-hmm. with y'all. So when is that going to be? Next week, right,
probably
Ben?
Next week, yeah.
So go check out Patreon for info on that. We'll probably post it over the weekend so everybody knows when to be there.
Yeah. Here's one. Here's a question from Benjamin O'Toole King Edmonds Cohen, who asks, which male Bravo celebrity makes the best use of HGH and anabolic steroids? Which one do you think has the worst roid belly, and why is it Joe Giudice? Are you going to answer? I thought you were going to answer first.
I lost you. Why is Joe Giudice what?
No, the question is, and why is it Joe Giudice? It was a joke. Oh. It was a joke.
You cut out at that part. Sorry.
Oh.
I think the worst use of it, well, yeah, Joe Giudice is obviously the answer. But I think if we take him out of the running, because, you know, he's obviously going to win.
Yeah.
I think it would be Mike from Shaw's.
Mike from Shaw's is the worst?
He's got a pretty bad roid belly.
Let's see. Well, it's interesting. This is asking specifically which is the worst roid belly. Yeah, Mike is a bad roid belly. If it was just bad roid effects, it would probably be Ryan from OC, because those roids aged him about 10 years. Tamara's Ryan. I think, and other bad ones with roids. Well, Jax had some bad roid issues, we imagine. I think the good steroid use would be Joe Gorga. I think Shervin. Allegedly, I mean, and by allegedly, I'm just saying if they had been using them, then the effects are very nice.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell who has the worst roid belly on Shaw's because they're rich, so you never know if they're putting in like stomach implants and then it's like falafel belly, like under the implants of the stomach. Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah. I think also someone who has not reacted well to roids would be Kenya's ex, Matt. He did not seem to react so well to them. Although his body looked great. I just think that the roid rage was something he really has to work on.
Yeah.
You know, those garage windows, etc.
Yeah.
Kenneth Curtis asks, Hi, Kenneth. Sweet, sweet darling Kenneth. With all the Titanic and Kathy Bates references and the almost sinking of the boat with the ladies of New York, can you put Ramona in as Rose, Mario as Cal, Quad as Rose's mother, Leah Black as the unsinkable Molly Brown, and DJ James Kennedy as Jack?
Oh my God, that's so many people.
I don't remember who is Cal on Titanic.
I'm assuming it would be the one that she's engaged to, right?
Oh, like Billy Zane?
Yeah.
I don't remember. No, interesting. So, okay, so just so you guys get a lay of the land here, Kenneth wants Rose to be Ramona and Jack to be DJ James Kennedy. He wants a James Kennedy Ramona relationship.
Okay. So James Kennedy is Jack?
Yes.
My room is small, girl. Hey, girl. I got a room on this boat. It's really small.
Did you hear the news, girl? I'm playing the main deck. No more steerage for Mr. James Kennedy Jack. Steerage man, DJ.
Well, hello, Jack. Okay, I'm a maven, okay? And that's why I'm on the Titanic. I'm the maven of the Titanic, and I'm supposed to marry this guy, and he's so handsome, but I miss being single, ready to mingle, Jack.
I'm the king of the world. I'm playing the world right now. I'm the DJ of the world. Here, girl, won't you get up here on this boat part right here, and now you can be the queen of the world. We're king and queen of the world, girl.
You know what they say? Near, far, or wherever you're going. You know, it's all the same thing if you're Celine Dion, because she's fantastic. She has a car. I have a nicer car. I deserve it. I'm a maven.
Hey, it's Rose the Daffodil. You are not allowed to date that DJ. Diddy that.
It's girl. It's Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates is Leah.
Oh, all Kathy right. Bates.
If this boat goes down, invoice them. Invoice the shipmakers. Anyway, I'm off on a raft. Bye, iceberg.
Well, look at them sinking over there in the ocean. Well, here I am on a boat. I feel kind of bad, but hey, what am I supposed to do? Take a bicycle on the sea?
Look at that iceberg.
This was a great trip, but I'm not going down with the Mary Soul.
How fun is that? Well, not very fun at all, because y'all died.
Hey, Rose, I'm sorry, but I found your jewel at the bottom of the ocean. Got it already, but have a nice swim, Jack.
I gave it to Adriana, and she stole it from me.
Oh, mailbag.
Mailbag. Oh my god, thank god.
We mailbag, you did it again. Ben, you did it! It's the end of a Friday!
Oh my goodness, I need a nap. You guys, thanks for listening. Remember, Wednesday is the tickets go on sale for our second show in Philadelphia.
Philly!
Go buy the
tickets. We love you guys. Thanks for everything. Bye. We'll talk to you next time. Bye!